Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Purpose Tune Podcast. The goal of my show is to create valuable content to broaden your knowledge, inspire you, and get you in the right mindset so that you can apply it in your own life to drive impact, generate meaning, and achieve your purpose. My guest in this episode is Chandra Lin. Chandra inspires people to love life. As a transformational coach and the founder of GlowLiving.com, she guides anyone seeking impactful ways to achieve new levels of success through personal and professional development. A San Francisco Bay Area native, she spent the first 25 years of her career as a marketing expert and founder of Globe Marketing LLC, serving clients such as Apple, Smart Car, Mercedes, Avid, supermodel TV host Tyra Banks, and many others. She is now also using her experience and coaching certification from Robbins Medane's Center for Strategic Interventions to support people through GlowLiving.com and her signature training program, Root to Rise, for personal growth and healthy living. Root to Rise offers a perfectly aligned framework that allows people to strengthen the roots that provide them with security and life balance so that they can rise to their fullest potential and live a life they love. It is open to people of all ages, genders, race, religions, and perspectives. She is also the co-creator of Own Your Throne, an online women's circle offering nature-based wisdom for empowerment. For more information on these programs, as well as personal coaching, group mentoring sessions, and public speaking, please visit www.chandralin.com. Hi there. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
We did it.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, actually. I was able to sleep in a little bit because our timing wasn't till 10, so that was nice.
It's always good to sleep in. You know, it's what I'm beginning to realize is that sleeping is becoming more and more important for our livelihoods.
Oh, yeah. It gives you a lot of balance. I think when you're sleep deprived and you're trying to make it all happen, you can get so overwhelmed and things get irritable, or you get irritable, you know, easier and things like that. So I do try to start my day with, or my life with enough sleep.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so glad that you have that realization as well. I think more and more people should note that, just because it has made such a positive impact in my life. So I get a chance to dig through your LinkedIn profile, and you know, you're such a great person when it comes to transforming people's lives and in the career, based on your impressive working with Tyra Banks and the Black Eyed Peas. And could you tell me more about your experience working with these celebrities?
Sure. The background on it was, you know, that I had started my own marketing consulting agency called Glow Marketing, GLOW. Mm-hmm. And the Tyra Banks story is actually one that everybody finds fascinating because it is a LinkedIn success story. The funny thing is that this man, Michael Salort, reached out to me. I didn't know him at all. He said my profile looked great and he had some branding work to be done, you know, coming up. And then I didn't hear from him for about a year, so I just didn't give it a second thought. And then when I heard back from him, he was working as a chief officer at Bankable Enterprises, which is Tyra Banks' company. And he said, I was always impressed with you. I just, you know, wasn't in the right gig at the time. And I'd love to have you come out to New York from California and meet with us and talk about some projects we have. Specifically, they were looking for somebody to take over Tyra.com, their website, and help with managing it all. And I didn't know this guy at all, and it was going to be kind of on my dime and on my gumption to go out to New York. But, you know, I did a little due diligence, you know, legitimized it all and everything, and jumped on a plane Next thing you know, I'm sitting at a table with Tyra, and had a really great experience presenting my ideas to her and getting the gig, and so it was pretty exciting. So that was as an entrepreneur, my own company. Now LinkedIn, is somewhat more challenging to connect with people today because of all the sales messaging going on. Sometimes you don't always know what's a legit opportunity and what's not. So I always urge people to be super authentic on there and stay away from the real, canned salesy messages and try to really talk one-on-one to people and, try to break through as an individual instead of them thinking you're just, a sales bot or something. But true LinkedIn success stories can happen. And Tyra was one of them. And then with the Black Eyed Peas and a lot of the other artists that I worked with, on the music side, I was working for Avid, which they produce Pro Tools, which is the number one recording industry software and hardware for the music industry and film industries. And so, handling artist relations, I was able to work with a lot of really famous and popular celebrities. And with the Black Eyed Peas, I was able to have them do a private concert for us and all kinds of things. But what started happening was as the relationships grew and deepened, I started to be able to bring more of my coaching in and, not just doing marketing, but being able to get into more personal issues and career challenges and things like that. And to make a long story short, I noticed that, when you work with celebrities, you see everything, all the problems that they have kind of magnified. Everything in their lives are really magnified because they're on public display and they have so much at stake and they're representing themselves as individuals versus like a company. And so, it just occurred to me that being able to coach them and use their lives as examples can help a lot of people because it, a lot of people can go through the same type of thing. It may not be on a public stage, but because their lives are in extremes, like for example, when they're on the road, you're doing a tour, they have to find ways to maintain their health and their relationships that are back at home. And, everything's a little harder, right? But we all have our own versions of that. And so they can be used as really good, like what works for them and, great lessons learned going on in that area. So I created a lessons learned video series with some celebrities to try to, show people that it's, if they can make it work, anybody can make it work and kind of offer some shortcuts to greatness there.
Yeah, that's so important to keep in mind that celebrities are just ordinary people like us. Only the fact that their lives are magnified 10 times. I don't know if, when I was younger, I thought about being becoming a celebrity, but after hearing so much about these privacy issues with some of these celebrities, it does make you wonder. You have to be careful in terms of the lives you want to choose for yourself, and you
Wait
have
a
to be
minute. I thought you were a celebrity.
defensive.
That's why I'm on this call.
Well, I mean, my intent with this podcast is to really change people's lives. I mean, if it means giving me a platform to do so, then I'd be honored to do it.
Oh, there's no more noble mission, in my opinion. I think that when we practice what we can contribute to other people and how to make other people's lives better, that, we can align to a true mission. And I was listening to Vishen, who's the CEO of Mindvalley, the other day in a master class, and he was saying that it became really clear that instead of asking kids, what do you want to be when you grow up, that a more important question, instead of, trying to, form early job titles, is more about what would you like to contribute to the world, when you grow up? What do you want to be known for? What are you going to offer? And then those job titles kind of fall in line with what their mission is and are less important in terms of forming those early identities as it is what they're going to leave behind or what difference they're going to make. And I thought that we as adults can still learn from that because we're so focused sometimes on what it is that, how we want to be seen. Oh, we want to be a CEO of a company, or we want to, be a founder or a VP or whatever it is. And that's not as important as what impact we're actually making.
Right. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it really does come to what can I do to make sure that I'm impacting my communities or people's lives. I think that to me is a higher calling than what can I do to become more popular or what can I do to generate more revenue for my business or myself. I mean, obviously, running a business, of course, is important, and you need to have the revenue to do so. But once people have reached those goals, what's next? And I think that the ultimate purpose in our lives is to really change people's lives. Because if you hear about some of these, I'm in the performance improvement, personal development space, right? And I'm on YouTube a lot, listening to these various speakers in this field, and the consistent message that I'm receiving from these folks is that money can only take you so far. Celebrity status can only take you so far until you're beginning to question yourself, what can I do to, make sure that I'm leaving this world, with impact? And I think that that ultimately comes down to what are some of the things that I could do to change people's lives so that I can, make this world a better place when I leave.
Well, yeah, and I think that what you're talking about is what the way that I coach and teach people is, largely based on human need psychology. And one of the things that I heard from what you just said is that when you are looking at, things like financial gains and whatnot, what need you're serving is really the need for security. And when you look at the human needs, that is the baseline, need that we need to serve, but that there's actually six human needs. That's one of them. And what you're talking about is being able to make a contribution, being able to transcend your own needs in order to serve your community, serve others. And that's actually, the sixth need. When you look at like Maslow's hierarchy of needs or Tony Robbins and Chloe Madonna's adaptation or my adaptation on theirs, it basically starts with security and kind of has a spectrum of different needs and gets to the ability to kind of step outside yourself and look at what you're going to contribute. So you're already there. That's that focus that you have is has already you've already developed that awareness and that mindset that when you get into that mode of contributing and transcending, you are actually serving all of your other needs and doing that. And so when you have that mindset, you can say, well, by contributing, by transcending, I'm able to serve my needs for, variety and for connection with others and for growth and, these other things that we need. It basically serves all of our needs in doing that. But so a lot of people don't get there quite, as young as you. I think that's fantastic to hear.
Yeah, thank you. I think that part of that has to do with the fact that I grew up rather quickly. I'm one of 12 kids in my
Oh.
family, and I was the middle child. I had to grow up quickly to take care of my youngest sibling so that my parents could take care of the entire family. And so, I think that that just really taught me a lot when I was young. And so, I'm in my 30s now, and so the question of purpose has always been a concept that's lingering in the back of my mind. It wasn't until I had a conversation with some of my friends, and they were struggling to achieve purpose and meaning in their lives and not knowing what path they should take, that I decided to build this podcast to get them to think about what their purpose is and how can they achieve a more fulfilling life, either in their career or personal life or in marriage or relationship with their friends or whatnot. And so I know that you've dedicated a portion of your efforts and energy around the body, mind, and spirit. Could you share with us more about that connection?
Sure. Yeah. First, I want to comment on what you just said, which is so great because now the tools are available to offer these kind of things. But they are just tools, right? It's what we put into them, you know, that represents what the value of what we get out of it, right? So you're taking this technology and you're putting this great content out that serves other people, that helps them transform, helps them grow, and you're giving a platform to people like me and other you know, people in your community to do the same. And so that in itself is aligned to that mission that you have for helping people, and I think it's so amazing. And I think it shows how powerful the technology is today and how people can have an opportunity to take advantage of that, where in the past, you know, it may have been a little bit different story. And I was talking to Pato Banton, who is a reggae legend, and he was saying, and you know, we were talking about higher purpose, and he was saying, you know, if you're not sure what it is, that you can start really locally within your immediate community. You can help, you know, just, you can help somebody in your own family, or you can help somebody in your neighborhood, you know, that it can, I think because of the internet, we can have really lofty goals for ourselves where we're like, I'm going to have a podcast and I'm going to reach millions of listeners. But people who aren't ready to sign up for, you know, quite that big of a mission can make a difference through a ripple effect by just helping someone next to them or that they're close to. And so I always like to encourage people to say, there's a spectrum of this, you know, that you can make a difference, even if it doesn't seem as grandiose as doing something in the public eye, you know, because of working with celebrities. I know that that's not for everyone, but that, you know, you just helping your local community or even supporting your family like you did with having so many siblings and whatnot is a huge contribution in itself. And that in itself can be aligned to that mission of helping and supporting your loved ones and your community at large. So I first wanted to talk about that because I think it's important, because a lot of times we wonder what our higher purpose is. And I don't believe that it's something that's just bestowed on us that we're necessarily, you know, in touch with from a young age. Sometimes it's just something that we have to choose to align to. We have to say, well, this is important to me, you know, to help people. And then you have to say, well, okay, well, why is that important? And when you connect to your why, you know, as people in marketing, you know, they know the power of the why. There's books about and TED Talks about the why. So getting to the point where you understand your why, and then the one step further is then, now what am I going to do about it? What does that look like? And for you, it looks like a podcast. For me, you know, I'm building a lot of training materials, including my Root to Rise online course and, you know, turning that into a book and public speaking and all these other things. And for somebody else, it may look different, but, you know, understanding your why, understanding what it is that you want to do and what you're willing to do about it are three of the most powerful steps or questions to ask yourself to be able to connect to that higher purpose. So I would definitely want to talk about that first. Because it does lead into body, mind, and spirit, which is basically that when we do want to rise to our and connect to a higher purpose to really make a difference in this world, the best way we can do that is by balancing these aspects of ourselves so that we can as our best selves. And it can be as simple as what we started the interview with, which is getting a good night's sleep. You know, that's for the body, right? So that's serving that need of the body. One of the ways. I mean, we obviously have to focus on other things like nutrition and exercise and things like that. And that helps balance the body. But the other areas, you know, we can talk about too, but the idea around why to do it is really just to be able to show up as our best selves. And it helps with things like like emotional mastery. It helps with things like being able to have our needs met in healthy ways so that we can help other people. For example, if we're not meeting our own needs for health and fitness, and we need to, you know, maybe we're sick and we have to focus on that, it's very hard to give to anything else, you know, when you're sick. And so that shows an example of how when one area isn't working, it's very difficult to stay on your mission of helping other people when you have to focus on helping yourself in that moment. So body, mind, and spirit in my program has a little bit of a twist because, you know, I was taught in my coach certification program about this thing called the triad. And I realized that when they were training me on the triad, it was another layer of it is body, mind, and spirit. And basically what it is for being able to do things like navigate your emotions and, you know, have really a stable kind of emotional makeup. There's three aspects that you have to have in balance. And the way I was trained was the first one, what do you do with your body, which is your physiology, right? And so they talk about physiology and I realized, oh, that's the same as the body. When I'm going into a depressive state, there's things I do with my body that bring about, you know, these negative emotions of depression. My telltale sign when I'm starting to get depressed or sad is I put my hand to my forehead and I start to kind of roll in on myself. You know, I'm kind of more getting not in the fetal position, well, sometimes, but like more, you know, inwardly focused. And I'll start by doing it with my body. And then, you know, I might have shallow breathing. I might have, and this is universal across all people around the globe, that there are certain things that they do with their bodies to bring about a state like depression. Mm. Now, alternatively, we can do certain things with our bodies to bring about a state of happiness. Like we can look up at the sky, we could go on a walk, we can, you know, move in our bodies, we can dance, you know, there's things that can bring about really good feelings. So when we start to really think about what are we doing with our bodies to summon emotions as the first step, then we can take control of maybe not going down a negative spiral before it even happens. Like as we see first signs of it happening, like right now, I know if I put my hand to my forehead because I'm starting to feel upset about something, that's signaling to me, do something different with your body, get outside, you know, turn on some music and sway around to it or something, look up at the sky, just do something that's opposite of what I'm being called to do to summon that depressive state. And then I know this is a long explanation, but it's super powerful for people who are struggling with depression and anxiety and things to look at what they're doing with their body first, their physiology. Then the second thing is, what is it that you're focusing on? Because usually when I put my hand to my forehead and I'm starting to shrink into myself, my mind is focusing on a certain thing in a certain area. And what I choose to focus on is super powerful for summoning an emotional state. And I can choose what I focus on, but don't always feel like I can choose that because the brain likes to work on problems to solve. It doesn't really focus on the things that are going right all the time. That's why people get into gratitude practices and things like that. So when we get to the point where we can be conscious of what we're focusing on and start to develop, you know, a conscious way of determining that, it can help our state very, very significantly. And then the last thing, that triad, that triangle, you know, visual, is the meaning that we attach to what we're focusing on, you know, the language we're using within ourselves, that negative self-talk that you hear about. We can summon negative emotions by attaching negative meanings to the things we're focusing on. Mm-hmm. So we have more control over our emotions than people realize. And when they look at this triad and they see that what we're really talking about is body, mind, and spirit, because spirit to me is the energy behind the emotions that we're summoning and the, you know, that we're bringing up through the meanings that we're attaching to things and how it's making us feel in our core, in our soul. And so this body, mind, and spirit layered with this triad of physiology, focus, and meaning is in spirit is really, really powerful stuff. And I'm talking a lot, but it's the tip of the iceberg.
No, this
really is
great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's important to, you mentioned earlier about how we need to get our bodies moving and listening to music. You know, it's, of course, listening to music is soothing for the soul, I think. you know, gets us in the mood, as well as, you know, it taps us into a more positive state, listening to lyrics and music and artists that we enjoy. And of course, the moving part, I can completely relate to that because I exercise 4 or 5 times a week. And what I've realized is that it has such an astronomical benefit to my, you know, mental state and physical well-being, because not only do I feel my body get stronger, but I'm also able to focus, laser focus. And then, of course, after each workout, I feel great afterwards. And I think that more people need to move in order to sort of get rid of this state that they're in, whether that is, you know, in depression or anxiety or, you know, or fear or whatnot. And I just love the fact that you're describing how mind, body, and spirit connects to one another. And, you know, in order to reach our fullest potential and achieve happiness in our lives, that we need to ensure that all of those three elements are aligned.
Yes.
Because when they're not aligned, then, you know, we question things and we don't feel good. And I just think that, you know, to your point, moving is such a critical part of, should be part of our daily practice.
I love that you exercise so much and can be such a good example for people for that. And I would say that if anybody struggles with depression out there, because that was a big thing that I struggled with in my past, you know, more like it was even starting as a teen, and that I have a lot more control over now, but I literally had no idea that I could do depression to myself. It was actually an action. You know, I could put that hand to the forehead. I could roll in. I could start to focus on, you know, negative stuff. I could detach negative meanings. I could self-talk in a way that wasn't healthy. I mean, I could do all that to myself. And at the time, without this awareness, I thought it was being done to me, that this was, you know, like it was taking over me. It was making me feel this way that I didn't have any control, and that I just felt bad and I just felt sad. And now I realize that actually, now there's chemical depression, which is a little different because there's things that are related to chemicals and hormones and things in the body. And that's more of a medical issue. But when you're talking about being depressed over your life, you know, the state of things and everything, there's a lot of tactics and things that you can do to manage that. And when you first recognize that you have some control over your state and that there are things you can do to manage your state, then it's much more empowering and can give you hope that even when you start to go down that road, that you have the ability to pull back from it and make a change. And the first thing I usually recommend to people is if they can get out and walk and talk with a friend. Like if they start to feel see those signs, that's the first thing they can do, because there's nothing more powerful than getting that body moving and having connection with other people, people that care about you, people that will give you feedback that's based on, you know, the wanting the best for you. Being around that energy, so going on a walk and talking to a friend, is so therapeutic that I can't even begin to tell people that's what I would recommend, because sometimes we want to shy away from people when we're feeling down. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to bother them or, you know, bring them down, or we want to kind of hide a little bit while we manage our own emotions. But if you can just get out and walk and tell your friend, look, I don't expect anything from you other than just hold my basket. Or if you do want feedback, say, I'd love to share something with you because I've been feeling down and I'm wondering, are you in a state where you can receive that and give me some feedback without, you know, absorbing it and taking it in, because I don't want it to bother you, but I could really use your advice. Or, you know, let them know what it is that you're looking for, because, you know, as friends, we all want to fix each other's problems, but it may be that you just want to have somebody to walk and talk with. Or maybe you're, you know, wanting a friend's true advice and they need to know what you need, you know, but that's part of our responsibility to let people know what we need in life and not just expect that they would intuit it. That can be a recipe for a lot of disappointment.
Yeah, definitely. I think your point goes into, I'm your friend. All I need is an ear to listen to, and have them vent out, whatever that they're dealing with at that moment, which I think that more and more people need to do a better job at listening to people rather than speaking, because we're so into our own zone that we forget that part of the communication process is to really listen to what other people have to say as well and acknowledging what they have to say.
Right? I love that.
Define what purpose and meaning means to you.
Well, I mean, for me personally, or what I think it means in general?
To you personally, if you have any insight on how people can, identify their own purpose and achieve their own meaning.
Well, I mean, like you mentioned earlier, you're one of your purposes is to help others, transform and to have the best life possible. And so that's a common one, because when we recognize we live in a community, we want everybody to be happy and thriving, because that creates a better society to live in. And we don't have to worry as much about everybody else walking around in pain or, seeing their struggles. And I think a lot of people with empathy tend to arrive at that as a purpose. That's why you're seeing a lot of coaches coming up and people offering personal growth and development things, because we may be of the tribe of being able to empathize, with other people and see their struggles and want to help. And obviously we're a part of a tribe where we, want to share our wisdom and our life lessons to help, reduce the pain that other people are going through. And I think that in terms of purpose and mission and those kind of things, meaning that it's unique to everybody. And I think that sometimes it has to do a little bit with what's in their heart and how to connect to that. And it can be something that it's a little bit hard to explain. I actually put together a worksheet in my course to help people identify this for themselves. A lot of times it comes from going back into their roots and seeing what has always been a passion for them. Like some people have a really strong drive to help animals. Animals is like their thing, and they love animals, mm-hmm. and animals bring them happiness, and they want to fight for animals' rights. Other people, it's the environment. They walk outside or go on a hike or something, and they're just overwhelmed with the beauty and of nature, and so they become mm-hmm. really, really aligned to environmental causes and wanting to make a difference on the planet. Other people have other things that they're connecting to based on their upbringing, in their families. It can be maybe one of their family members struggled with alcoholism or some kind of form of addiction. And so they're, wanting to fight for people, to raise awareness and money or for that. Or maybe, someone in their family had committed suicide at some point, and so they really want to get out the message about getting help around suicidal thoughts and promoting that. So I think that sometimes when you see people really advocating towards a strong cause, if you really talk to them about what it means to them, you might find something in their history or in their past that they experienced that aligned them to that. And mm-hmm. I think that when people start to go, well, I don't know what to get to be aligned to, that they might think back, like, my grandmother had Alzheimer's, and so maybe that becomes a platform for me, because I saw her struggle with having Alzheimer's over towards the end of her life. And my grandmother was a therapist, and she was one of my biggest mentors. And then seeing the pain of her losing her memory while she was treating patients and having to stop treating and, supporting people that way was a huge loss for the community, because she helped the community so much. She was doing a lot of crisis intervention and things like that. And so, because she couldn't remember everything, you know, that was going on with that person anymore. She had to, you know, it with integrity, stop practicing. So that became really a platform for me to go, wow, this disease can impact people in so many ways, not just that person, but all the people that are in their lives. And so, you know, there's just so many different ways of looking at purpose and meaning. And I think that when people look into their roots, they can often find something to attach to that has deeper meaning for them than just aligning to a cause for the sake of supporting something, you know, that may not have affected their life personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't remember what quote or who was it written by, but it was something along the lines of an artist must be an artist, a doctor must be a doctor, because, you know, there's diversity in everything. And, you know, people have to follow their dreams and their aspirations in order to create a better world for everyone. Not everyone can be celebrities, or not everyone can be psychologists. And so it's important that, you know, we must identify what our passion is. And if and for those people that don't know what their passion is, keep going, right? Like keep working at it in order to achieve the kind of life that that you want. You know, earlier we were talking about how, you know, not everyone could be famous. And I just thought of this quote, I think it's by Martin Luther King, which is that not everyone can be famous, but everybody can be a great, because greatness is determined by service. And so, you know, your work with, you know, working with your clients on, you know, helping them achieve a positive state to ensure that they're, you know, leading a life full of joy and love and overcoming depression, anxiety, and losses. It's just magnificent, because in it is your work of service. And if you can impact people in overcoming their mental illness, I think that that is in part greatness in itself.
Oh, thank you. I definitely think that there's a lot to this. I mean, first thing is that if people aren't sure what their purpose is, I would start by looking at their strengths and the people that have inspired them, whether it's somebody in their life or somebody that they, you know, have just admire from the public eye, because, you know, we can use role models to help get us started if we aren't sure exactly what to offer. You know, there's a lot mm-hmm. of really great role models out there. And if we didn't have those in our past, we can, you know, take them on as chosen role models. They may not have been our parents or whatever. They can be somebody else's parents, or they could be somebody that, you know, does really great work in society. But there's a lot of tests and kind of personality type of tests that allow people to see what their strengths are. And when you align to things that you're kind of naturally strong in, that can really help. And getting to know yourself in that way, and then looking at role models who have leveraged those strengths, can be something that can really make a difference.
Yeah, definitely. So I know that you're working on a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you sure. tell us more about it?
Well, so a couple of years ago, I launched an online course called Root to Rise. And then I started workshopping it in, you know, live settings before the pandemic. And I started to see what it was capable of in terms of transformation. And now with the pandemic, I feel like people are getting zoomed out and, you know, their focus on the computer, you know, taking these online courses is limited. You know, people are wanting to digest smaller chunks of information or read books, get offline. And so I decided that instead of just creating like a companion workbook to the online course, which was my initial idea, I decided to write Root to Rise as a full-blown self-help book that includes the worksheets and, you know, pages to work people through their individual stuff. Because Root to Rise has that element in the online course, you know, having worksheets and stuff. And I think that the most important way that I can make an impact for people is to give them the information in a format that, you know, that they're comfortable with. Some people want to read a book. Some people want to do online. Some people want to do live workshops. Some people need one-on-one coaching. People need to understand what it is for them, commit to personal growth and development, and then take, you know, and find those resources. So I'm basically developing out the online course into a full-blown book. And I hope to have a great first draft by the end of the year. You know, it's October now, so that doesn't give me much time. But a lot of the content is there. And in that, you know, I'm also working on my story so people understand and my background and be able to resonate or relate to the adversity that I had and how I've overcome things and be able to see, you know, themselves in that experience. And then also, you know, have more case studies, because I think people also learn from other people's experiences. So it's not just going to be a book of telling people what to do. You know, this is a book of them seeing themselves mm-hmm. in the context of other people's lives in reflection to that, and then being able to do exercises that are really personal to them so they can have those aha moments. And then they can also build the life coping skills like what I talked about with the triad, but even on a more deep and personal level. So I hope that it makes a big impact mm-hmm. and becomes part of my legacy at some point.
Wow, that's amazing. I love that. And I have so much respect for people who have published books and, you know, turned that into something more to make an impact in the communities in which they serve. And I think that, you know, publishing your own book and leveraging your experiences and knowledge into something that could be shared to the world is such a beautiful process, because you know, it gives people insight into your world, and you get to share that on a personal level. I think there's just so much value in a book that sometimes we often overlook. For me, my challenge is I wish I have more time so I could actually just sit and just like read every book that's on my bookshelf.
Oh, you know, I recommend you take a look at Brian Johnson's work. He has, first of all, he reads everything and then he distills it down and he gives you basically the cliff notes. And it's amazing. Yeah. Nice. Brian Johnson, he's got lots of videos and he can summarize books, and then you could get what he calls his philosopher's notes. And so then, you know, you can have the equivalent of reading all these books, you know, in a very short amount of time. So that's just a little plug for him. I don't know him personally, but I follow his work and I've always been impressed with how many books he consumes and gives us his philosopher's notes and videos on to help us, you know, mm-hmm. digest the big concepts in each in a very quick and easy way. But you know, I was going to say regarding the book development, you know, I just turned 50 mm-hmm. and I didn't see myself writing a book when I was 30. I think sometimes, you know, young entrepreneurs are listening to understand that if they don't necessarily think that's within them now, and they're trying to, you know, put that expectations on themselves, it's okay. You know, there's time for that. I think sometimes it becomes something that wells up inside of you that needs to get out. And what happened with Roots Arise for me was that it was, if I just sat at a blank screen, I wouldn't have known what to write, you know, earlier. It was just something that came out of me and I couldn't really stop it. You know, I mean, I could have, I guess, but like for the most part, mm-hmm. I felt it needed to be expressed. And so when you start to feel that something needs to be expressed, to just allow for that flow with no expectations about what it's going to end up being. It may end up being a blog post, or it could be a newsletter item that you put out, or it could be a book. You just don't know how deep and rich it ends up being, unless you let go of expectations and allow it to flow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a great point. And it has to come naturally too, right? It just can't be something that you're forced to, because then it's not authentic. And when it's not authentic, you know, people know. And so it doesn't tap into people's attention. And especially if they're so, we live in a society where, you know, people are continually having their attention pulled in multiple directions. And so if your message isn't authentic, then people can see that through and they just go on to the next outlet that would give them the authenticity that they so seek. And so what's your, you know, knowing that you have a business, you have a book that's coming out, how would you, what are the top three, let's say, success habits that you have that have propelled you forward to achieve these things in your life?
Good question. I think that it relates back to the balance of body, mind, and spirit. You know, there are lots of things that I do to exercise and eat healthy, and things like journaling can really help me get grounded and focused. And because what happens is I'm somebody who, I'm a doer. I have lots of big ideas and I can have a lot of spinning plates going on. So one of the practices that I do is often prioritize, continuously prioritizing what I'm working on so that I don't overwhelm myself. I can look at going, okay, well, what is it that I'm, what are all these things that I'm wanting to do? Why am I wanting to do them? What need are they serving? And then once I figure all that out, I can go, okay, so now what am I willing to do in what order? Because we can put so much on ourselves and it seems like the world demands so much of us to be successful that we can be overwhelmed mm-hmm. very easily with all the stuff there is to do. So when we pull back and ask ourselves what's important about it and why we're trying to do it, it can give us that fuel and that motivation and also that focus that we need to know what's next and what we're willing to do about it. So I would recommend people, if they're not in the habit of journaling, to just check in with themselves. It can even just start as a to-do list. Look at your list and prioritize your day. But it could also go deeper than that. And that would be the invitation, is to go a little deeper into the why you're doing all this stuff, because we can busy ourselves with lots of stuff to do before even actually focusing on the things that are our true goals. And a lot of people will do that as a way to protect themselves when they might even have a fear of success or failure. We can put all these things in front of ourselves before we actually focus on the thing we want to do. Like, for example, oh, I'm not going to write that book until I get certified as a coach. And then I take a writing course and then I find an editor and then I figure out a way to get this published. And there's now like 100, or thousands of hours worth of stuff that I need to do before I even do it. Right. And so what I invite people to do is get out of their own way by getting to the heart of what it is that they're wanting to do and figure out, what does it really require to achieve it? Do you really need all of those things that you're putting in front of yourself? Some of the things are legit, you know, they're like, I did get a certification because I wanted that personal growth experience. And I also wanted the credibility, you know, I have not taken a writing course, but and if I really felt like I had problems with writing, then I would seek support in that area. But I didn't let that stop the flow of, you know, the thoughts and the ideas, at least. Don't let that get in your way, because you can always clean that up or work with an editor later. So I would say for people, mm-hmm. and I'm not just talking about writing here, I'm talking about anything they're wanting to accomplish. Ask yourself, what is all the things that I'm requiring myself to do before I actually accomplish it? Because are those legitimate things, or is it a protection from actually doing it and risking failure or risking, you know, whatever mm-hmm. it means to be successful that I might be afraid of? So that would be something that I would offer people, is just connecting in with themselves with through that journaling process. And then, what we talked about earlier, get a good night's sleep and eat healthy and exercise, you know, because when the body is in a good state, mm-hmm. it's a vessel to allow all this stuff to flow through.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. So I know we're close to time here, and I want to just quickly ask, who or what inspires you to do the work that you do and why?
I think what really inspires me, well, so going back to my roots, what inspired me were my grandparents, who were both therapists, mm-hmm. and seeing the work that they did in the community and the lives that they touched, and how powerful we can all be in helping to support each other, whether you're a therapist, a coach, or just, you know, you're a good friend. I mean, it's literally, there's a whole gamut of ways that we can touch people's lives. It can be through our work, through the mission behind what we're doing. So anybody who's on a mission that involves helping and supporting other people in our community to be a better place to live in, I'm inspired by. So I try to lead by example. And I think that's what I would say would be, you know, the most inspiring thing are things and people are the ones that are also living and leading by example. And that's where mm-hmm. it comes from, is my roots, my grandparents and, you know, some other people in my family and around me. And then also my community of fellow coaches and people who are out there just doing the hard work of helping other people in so many different ways.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, thank you so much for your insight and sharing your experiences with us, and your journey in writing your book, and also your career experiences. If people wanted to connect with you,
where can they find you? The best thing they can do is go to glowliving.com, which is my website, glowliving.com. And I'd love to offer your listeners the opportunity to take the part one of my Root to Rise course. It's two parts. It's Roots and Rise, because the program got to be so big that I broke it into two parts to make it more digestible. But I would love to offer them that part one for free to see if it resonates with them. And there's a lot they can get out of it. They can learn about that human need psychology I talked about. They can learn how it is showing up in the different aspects of their life, their what I call their root system. And they can look at anything that's holding them back, anything that's keeping them from being stuck in terms of balancing that body, mind, and spirit. Because I believe that when you create a really stable, strong foundation in those root areas, that gives them the platform to rise from, to be able to connect to a higher purpose, to be able to achieve anything at all. So if they're entrepreneurs, if they're business people, if they're just wanting to live to their fullest potential in their personal lives, this is a great foundational course to give them that strong root system to be able to expect themselves to rise from and achieve great things.
Wow.
So I can give you a link that you can share, and it'll give them the access to the course completely for free. And I normally sell it for $8.97. It's a big, you know, effort, but it's worth it. And people I know for sure will get a lot out of it if they decide to join it. And it's just for your listeners for free.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. And I'm sure that people will want to take advantage of that, especially since there's more time for folks to focus on some of the things that they, you know, have been wanting to focus for quite some time due to the pandemic. So,
well, and that's why I'm giving away for free. I, you know, it doesn't feel authentic to me to sell anything right now, because I mm-hmm. really feel like it's time for people to take this as a sacred pause, to connect in with themselves, to do personal growth and development work, to figure out what is really meaningful. And I think this pandemic is really showing people what, you know, their value system is mm-hmm. and in a new way. And if they take this time for personal growth, when the pandemic ends, they will be able to fully align with whatever the new normal is going to be. So I really like them to do this now. And although it's kind of personal work, it's also fun, because it's self-discovery, and it's going to give them those aha moments that maybe they're seeking, that's going to ensure their success for their future. And definitely in the career route, because I'm very focused on that, because I feel like when people are meeting their needs for financial security within their careers, it can open up all those other things we talked about, and also give them that mission, that purpose, you know, give them that that road or that you know, platform to be able to make a difference. And by the nature of that, when they have that anchored in and feeling good about that, there's just so much more that they can give in the other areas. They can contribute more as providers, you know, to their families, their friends, you know, in their personal relationships. And, you know, obviously all while balancing their own health and health and fitness and mental health and everything else. So yeah, I would say this is a good first start for people who want to create that stable foundation, especially in times of challenging times like we're in with the pandemic.
Yeah, definitely. And plus you get to help create a better world for everyone too, you know, in this process, in the making, in getting people to tap into their self-reflection mode and really, you know, creating a better self. And so, well, this has been such a pleasure having you on and to speak about, you know, the areas of, you know, life coaching and creating environments where people can really be their best self and be better. I really do enjoy this conversation, and I hope that my listeners will take away with them these positive tips that they can incorporate into their lives to generate meaning and ultimately achieve their purpose. So thanks again for your time.
Thank you so much. And I'm really excited to get to know your listeners and have them visit me at glowliving.com, because I've got so much free information on there. I've got a really great quiz that they can take to learn what's driving their key life decisions, these hidden forces that are at work going on. They can kind of create more consciousness around making great life decisions, because I think that with great decisions, we can equals great life. And also there's blog posts, you know, great articles there, interviews on videos, and also the recordings of other podcasts I've done. I mean, there's just so much there. So definitely check that out, and they can email me at chandra@glowliving.com if they want a personal connection.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome. 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 Well, folks, you've heard it from the superwoman here. Aww. And I hope that you'll go into her website at glowliving.com to check out her amazing work, and feel free to ping her and let her know where you found her, which is through the Purpose Tune podcast. And I hope that you all are having a fantastic day. Thanks.
Thank you so much.